Exodus 16. We're going to be reading verses 2 through 4. Also, put your finger there, and we're going to go to Isaiah 59 and 19. Isaiah 59 and 19.
You said 2 and 4?
And 2 through 4. Exodus 16, verses 2 through 4. So thankful, as Pastor Horton just mentioned a moment ago about Promotion Sunday. So thankful. That makes my heart swell when I see children growing in Christ. The other day I was listening to Logan, and I was completely impressed when he quoted 20 scriptures. Blew me away. Blew me away. I couldn't get smucher happier. I thought I'd start just dancing. Because he knew the word of God. And he knew what it meant. That's so important. Well, I'm so thankful for that.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're there. Exodus 16, verses 2 through 4. You say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read the word. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord unto Moses, behold, I rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Turn over to Isaiah 59 and 19 if you're there. The word says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Let's pray with the word. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word of truth. I thank you, Lord, that we can take and lead our lives by this very truth. I'm thankful, God, that we have this congregation here today, God, that we're learning your truth together as one. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you take and use me as this vessel, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would work through me. God, I'm asking for the unction of the Holy Ghost to preach this gospel of the truth. And I'm asking, God, that everyone in this place would be hearers and doers of your very truth. I'm asking, God, that you do the great and mighty things that we do not know, the things we do not understand. God, we leave them to you. God, I'm asking you to do those in this place this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sure most of us this morning are familiar with this scripture of the Old Testament. There came a point in time in which God was trying to lead them out of Egypt, to lead them out from living underneath the load of their oppressor, to lead them out from living underneath the burden of the taskmaster. As God was putting in motion their freedom, the Egyptians said to themselves, we are going to have to do whatever we can do to these Israelites to keep them from seeing their own strength and multiplying. The Egyptians did not want the strength of the Israelites to be multiplied or for their number of people to be multiplied. So they said to the taskmasters, pile more stress on them. Make them work harder. Make them more tired. Make them be weighed down physically and emotionally by all that they must do, that they will be too tired to multiply. And as we know this very day, the war that waged against God's people to bog them down with stuff to consume us is still going on today. Have you ever felt too tired to multiply? I'm not speaking of physical multiplication. I'm speaking of being so weighed down that you do not have the ability to add strength to any other person. In the world we have today, there's many weights. There's many things on our minds. We have our own things that we're dealing with. But what I'm asking you today is this very thing. You are not able to add joy to any situation. You ever thought about that? You're not able to add any joy. You are so tired that you feel like you're the zero when it comes to multiplication. Anything multiplied by zero gives you zero. You can add one plus zero and you'll still have one, right? But multiplication, which what God is asking for, if you have zero, you're still going to have zero. Every single day, there's a war going on in your life. It's not a physical war, but it's a spiritual war. Now, I know what you think where I'm going, but I'm not. The war I'm speaking of today is a war of words. A war of words. Get a hold of what I'm talking about today. A war between God's word and what Satan's lies say, which he will either whisper to you or scream at you. Many times throughout the word of God, you will see words compared to water, and it even describes the attack of the enemy as a flood. We do have an enemy that comes against us, and when he comes against the people of God, he uses words that do not agree with the word of God. That is what he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Amen? Twisting God's word into something else that it's not. Satan showered Eve with some words that were in direct contradiction to what God had said, and when Eve believed them, that is when she sinned. To understand that, believe them. It is not sin when the thought enters the mind as the enemy is constantly firing his dart. It is when that point of belief sets in is the sin, then the action. Now hear me.
Yes.
It's not the thought. It's what you do with the thought. Is it the truth? What are you believing? Are you believing the lie? Or are you believing the truth? Satan's first priority is not to get you to sin, although that's the end goal. His first priority is to get you to believe a lie. What are you believing? Matthew 7, Jesus told us that whoever was a doer of the word and not just a hearer, that the same would be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And even though the rains and the floods came and beat on the house, it did not fall. He wasn't talking about a literal rainstorm coming to you, but a storm or a flood that most people cannot even see, an internal storm, a storm that you didn't see coming, a flood that came against you from a place you never expected it to come from. Have you had a flood of words come? Satan is the only one who can have the voice of wrong things. We also have a mouth. Has your mouth ever gotten you in trouble? Don't raise your hand. We all have, we all know the truth. If you've ever been a child, you've been in trouble. And if you've ever been in trouble, you know that your mouth got you there. And then after we did that, then something had to happen, right?
Amen.
We all know that our mouth has gotten us in trouble. But also, the mouth and what we're speaking over our lives, what we're speaking out, what is it that we speak? What is it that we're talking about? Proverbs 6:2 says that we are snared by the words of our own mouth. You ever thought about that? Snared by the words of our own mouth. Choosing your attitude about certain matters begins in that little place that the Bible says is like the rudder of a ship. Of course, I believe you know that I'm referring to the tongue. We have a choice of what words that we speak. I can speak the truth or I can speak the lie. Every time I open my mouth to speak, I'm revealing how I'm doing in three conversations in my life. What I've been saying to myself and within myself.
Come on.
What have I been saying? About myself, within myself. How well I'm refuting or pushing back the lies of the oppressor in my life. Three, how closely I'm walking with God. We're talking about a child of God. I'm talking about the lost. I'm talking about the child of God that has the war of words against them. How am I doing with these three conversations that I'm having with myself? No, you're not nuts. Because we all have these conversations within our own mind. We're having these conversations every time that we deal with these kind of situations we're going through. We're talking about it.
Yeah.
Who are we talking to? When Goliath came out against the Israelites, the Bible says that when David got there to take his brothers some food, like his dad had told him to do, that the armies of Israel and the armies of the Philistines were basically charging at each other for the fight. And as David came upon that scene, he jumped out of his carriage, the Bible says, and ran into the army as they were shouting and going forward to the fight. He did not come upon some silent scene and hand his brothers a loaf of bread and a piece of cheese. No, he ran right into the middle of the battle charge. It had to be intense and scary, and I'm sure adrenaline was mixed in. The Bible says that David found his brothers and saluted them that were there to fight, and here came the giant. Do you hear what I'm saying? The battle charge was going. They were fixing to go. They were headed that way. They were shouting. They were ready to fight.
Yes.
But then, the giant.
Yeah.
He was speaking his flood of words as he had day after day. And after Israel's army saw the giant and heard his words, they fled and ran away. Do you hear what I said? After they heard the flood of words. Now here, they did not witness the giants kill anyone. You ever thought about it? They did not witness the giants physically destroy anything. Not a thing. They simply heard the flood of words being spewed out like a flood over the entire army and crippled the army to not move out of fear. They stopped being immobilized by words. There was no action. There was just words. This is what I'm going to do to you. When Satan comes to you as a flood and says, "You're not going to." Those are just words. It doesn't matter how loud he screams them.
That's right.
Or how he whispers them. They're just words. Now get a hold of what I'm saying today. But God had something hearing that flood of words by the enemy, who knew that no matter what, God could still move and raise up a standard against the giant. David stood up and knew that God was well able to silence this flood of fear and anxiety being spewed out by the giant. I'm telling you, church, the deception in all the world is growing darker and darker all the time. The lies of the enemy are working overtime to try to convince the people that God that he doesn't care about them, would never ever want to use them, that they can never be close to God because of who they are. But God has no desire for humanity to remain bogged down in the confines of the flesh, the world of the devil. Our enemy wants us to break under the pressure and give in under the burdens that he floods into our life with. The devil wants to pressure you, scare you into doing nothing. Just like the armies of Israel, they did nothing but run, which accomplished nothing at all. Because if you're doing nothing, you won't accomplish anything for God. If he can stop you from singing, then no one will be set free from the anointing of your song. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. If he can keep you afraid of testifying about what God has done for you, then no one will gain hope from your testimony. If he can keep you weighed down under stress and burden, then you cannot even see an opportunity to witness to someone, then someone will not be pulled from the fire of hell. Look around you. Every one of us are carried by weight. We're carrying that weight along with us, that we are so busy within ourselves that it's so hard to say anything outside of our own little world or our own little problem. Come on. Do you see what the enemy is doing? Trying to weigh us down with burdens of our own self and our own things that we cannot even minister to what God is wanting to do.
That's good.
He can. No matter where we are.
Right.
If he can frighten you from doing nothing, then you won't stand on God's word when the doctor gives you no hope.
Right.
If he can cause you doubt, to doubt that God, the Holy Ghost, is speaking to you, then there will be no army of God who knows how to be instant in season and out of season. The Holy Ghost is speaking.
Come on.
We need to do the will of God every day in this earth.
Right.
That's the purpose. So he's going to scream at you to get you to shut down, to get you to stay quiet. And the more ground you give up, the more ground the devil takes. You ever thought about it? Instantly when I wrote this or typed this, it makes me want to sing this song. To sing, "I'm going to take back everything the stole, that the devil stole from you." Amen? That's exactly what that song means. Everything that he stole, every piece of ground that I have in my life, that spiritual ground that we have let be taken away from us, that actual confidence, that actually proven that God has given us a purpose in our lives that we have allowed to because of fear of not doing anything about it. Then he takes it away, and no longer we have confidence in that place in our life. And no longer we speak the word of wisdom to someone because we no longer have confidence that God's working through us. No longer I lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover because I no longer feel confident that God wants to use me for that purpose. Hello. This is a very real truth. that we, the church, are going through each and every day. There's very things going on in your mind as we listen to what God says. When He speaks it, He didn't ask anything but obey. Everything else is up to Him. If He asked it, it's up to Him. He didn't say, I won't go with you. He said, I'll go with you to the end of the earth. He didn't say, maybe. He said, obey me. He said, go forth. The Word of God tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand the evil day. That's a helmet for your head. That's shoes for your feet. A breastplate for the front. A shield to hold up. And a sword for you to fight with. But there is nothing mentioned about covering your back. You know why? Because the Roman soldier that Paul was writing about was meant to stand his ground and advance or go forward in battle. He was never meant to retreat.
Amen.
We serve the King of Kings, God of all creation. He cannot be destroyed and He will not fail. So why do we, the people of God, back off from the enemy when he comes in like a flood? We have the truth and the power. But
amen.
The purpose is for him to make you believe the lie. You put on the whole armor of God and go forward, and God himself will be your rear guard. Goodness and mercy shall follow me if I am following the shepherd. Isaiah 58 and 8 tells us that the glory of the Lord shall be our rear guard. Hello? That actually scripture is actually coming after all that time of fasting too, if you want to know. It's great scriptures when you're fasting, Isaiah 58. Understand that God will be our rear guard. You and I do not have to go up against the enemy in our own strength. If we just wait upon the Lord, He will renew our strength. He will be our strong tower. He will be the lifter of our head. We must be steady in the Word of God. God will get the glory out of whatever I'm going through if I just trust in Him. He is faithful to see us through, even to the ends of the earth I just mentioned. No matter what's coming on, God is faithful. The people of Israel did not know to remain steady when the flood came. There they are. God has led them out of Egypt, provided for them miraculously over and over. But the same enemy that works today was working against people back then. If he could just find someone that would jump on his bandwagon, it started with a little whisper of discontentment. It would spread like wildfire throughout the people. Did you notice in our beginning text that it says the whole congregation murmured against Moses and Aaron? But that flood of words had to start somewhere. And the first thing the people went back to in their minds was not the pressure and stress of the captivity of Egypt. That wasn't the first thing. But they went back in their minds to celebrate the flesh pots, or quite literally pots filled with meat that they had to eat. And they became discontent with what God had done for them. Because all they could remember was the pleasure of sin and not the captivity of it.
Right. Amen. That's good.
Hello.
Remember.
Does Satan ever take you down that road? To remember back when? And it sounds so good. You never think about the captivity and where you're at in the depraved mind and the mindset of your life. As it's spiraling out of control of that life of sin. The trick of the enemy is to get you to think that God isn't providing for you as good as you had it back when. If you have not noticed lately, there is a weariness, a heaviness, a frustration, irritations that are working overtime to try to consume the peace of God away from God's people. Has your peace been attacked? Do you lay your head down at night on your pillow and just peace comes and you just fall right asleep?
Amen.
Or do you go back to the day? Or you think about tomorrow? Or the next week? Or what's going on? Or something pops in your mind and it's like, God, I didn't handle that right. That wasn't quite right. That person was mad at me. What did I do? I shouldn't have said that. Come on. Have you lost your peace because the enemy is firing his darts and we're taking? Many of us are weighed down with cares of this life, weighed down with wrong thoughts, weighed down by the lies of the enemy, weighed down by the continual fight. Because of that, the enemy starts to whisper lies in the heart and minds of people that things aren't like they used to be in the church. The people of God sometimes even begin to walk around in an oppressed state of mind because all the weight that they have been experiencing. We know that we're in a darker place than we've ever been in history. We're at the end of the end days, that we know the Lord's coming back for his church, that we should focus on that, not the world. Because we have a better place. We have a promise. But what do we focus on every day? Is it the promise or is it the world? Where is our focus? What do we believe? What do we stand upon? Way down to the point that when we do come together in the house of God, their arms are so seemingly heavy to lift them and worship the source of life and hope. You ever felt so heavy when you walked in the house of God you couldn't even worship? Because your mind is bound by the weights of the world. That we can't get past. The very God from whom all blessings flow, Satan has lied to our minds and kept my hands from raising to the God that is able to take it all away. Because we took the lie of the enemy and allowed it to multiply. Actually, take all of our time. He took it all away. In just that very moment, we sit there focused upon the lie. If I could just get one thing to stick in your mind and spirit as our walk with God, is that the thing that is fighting against you is not about you. The thing that is fighting you is fighting him, God, in you.
Right.
Satan hates God, and he hates those that are made in his image. That's us. But if you are saved by the blood of the Lamb, he hates you so much. If you're not saved, he's already got you.
Right.
He's not concerned about you.
No.
He's after the church to believe the lie, so every time it's against our salvation. I've said it before, the helmet of salvation is because of the darts that come against our mind. Every time they come to fire at us, it's against your salvation. If you would believe the lie, then I can take God out of the equation. I can start believing the lie, then God's not who I thought he was. I decided I'm going to make God who I think he should be instead of who he truly is. The word of God tells me who he is, but if I don't open it, I'll never know. If I don't sit here and study the scripture and know it from my heart, I will never be able to speak it over my life. I will never be able to stand upon the rock of the truth. I will never be able to go past the lies of the enemy because I will believe what has been told to me. It's propagated into my mind over and over and over as we get weary and we don't sit here and be refreshed by the truth, the rain of bread, the living God. If we do never get replenished, then we get weary and tired from the constant bombardment of the enemy. The Bible says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. It is your hope of glory, and it is the hope for every lost and searching man or woman that you come in contact with. So what fights against you is fighting against Christ in you, and if you want to be able to go forward in your life or in your walk with God, you cannot do it with your feelings on your sleeve. Yes, I'm going there. You can usually tell when you are wearing your feelings on your sleeve, when everybody and everything is getting on your nerves. Everybody else has a problem. Nobody in this house, I know. Everybody's sanctified. There ain't one person got a problem than anybody else. Everybody's having a wonderful day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to raise our hands. We're going to worship God. We're done now. But we all have been there. We've all been that place. We've all been in that place where we've been lied to, and we took it into our bosom. That's usually a sign that you need to go spend time with God and let him rearrange your thought processes and take some of those things that you've let pile up. I'll just let that rest there for just a second. Go to God. Oftentimes, it's wiser to go to God than open your mouth. Especially when you feel like everybody's got a problem and it's not you. That's a real good time to go hit your knees, talk to God, and say, okay, God, somebody's just got entered my mind and I don't want it there no more. I need to talk to you. Let you have it, Jesus. People burn out because they start to try to navigate the flood that has come their way instead of running to the Lord and letting Him raise up a center within you against that flood. I'm sure most of all of us have boiled noodles in water, hot water at some time or another. Everybody, if you haven't had boiled noodles, don't raise your hand. We're not going to laugh at you or nothing like that. But you know the end result. They go in hard and brittle, easy to break. But once they are boiled, they are soft and pliable. It may be hot in the place you are today, but I'm here to tell you, even in the furnace, God is wanting us to become soft and pliable to His Word.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We can't receive it if we're hard and brittle, we'll break. We all know it's easy to quote the Word of God when you're not having to cling to it with every fiber of your being. It is easy to tell someone that everything is going to work out for their good when everything in your life is good. It's easy to pray for someone's miracle when you don't need one yourself. It's easy to command strength to be formed in someone when you're walking in strength. But what about when you are struggling? What about when you are desperately holding on to every promise of the Word of God? What are you doing in those moments of life? Because we all go through them. What are we doing, church? When we're going through the most difficult times in our life, when it doesn't seem like there's any light, there's anything going to change, that it's this way every day, it's mundane. I go through the same thing today, I'm going to go through it tomorrow. I have no hope because the enemy has lied to me and I believe the lie.
Yeah.
I believe there's no hope for tomorrow. I believe there's no healing to come to my body. I have no peace in my life because he has stolen it away from me. Because of whatever reason. Many of us in this place, we have lost loved ones. We're looking to be saved. A lot of times the enemy comes and attacks you. And you may not have anything wrong in your life, but he comes and attacks you and said they'll never be saved before it's too late. Do you find that very odd? That Satan is attacking you with that very thing that's going to send him straight to hell. He knows it's true. He knows where he's going. He's trying to drag as many as he can. When hell, death, and the grave are cast into the lake of fire forever.
Amen.
He knows it to be true, but he wants to take as many with him as he can.
Amen.
At that very point, we're believing the lie and not the truth. Does God have you on a proving ground? Are you getting mad about it? Are you getting frustrated by the proving ground? Are you confusing God's proving of you with enemies pushing against you? God is going to walk you through proving grounds, proving you trust in Him, proving if you go, you're going to trust His Word, proving whether or not you will walk forward in His Word or not. Oh, He will prove you and even give you battles to fight so that you can learn how to prove your armor. You ever thought about that? Prove your very armor. David did not put on the armor of Saul to fight Goliath because he had already proven how God worked through him. Has God already proven your armor in places that you didn't think you could make it through, but he proved you so you can bring strength to someone else in that very place? The body of Christ is a body. We're to do it together. We're supposed to be able to lift someone else up, but if we're so bound up in our own problems, and our own issues in our life, we'll never speak the truth to someone else. We're just dealing with our own little me and mine. God never intended that. He intended us to go forward. There's a purpose in it. The Bible says that his sheep would know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. On the other hand, goats don't follow. They have to be driven.
Are we sheep or goats?
Come on.
Let's prove the both. In this frame of time, are you being driven? Driven by fear? Driven by anxiety? Driven by the weights that you're consumed with? Or are you determined to follow the leading of the Spirit? He's leading us into green pastures. He's leading us by still waters. He's leading to places of faith and plateaus one after another. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So therefore, he is the one that authored the path of faith that you're on. So when we fail and fall on our face, because he is the one that's proving us, or will we walk forward in Christ Jesus, trusting in his hand, trusting in his leading, not being driven by the enemy outside of our own place, but also knowing that God is able to do great mighty things in our life. Which one would be done? Would we be driven by the enemy, or would we follow Christ Jesus because we know his voice? When those Israelites were there in the wilderness, they began to forget the multiplied weights and stresses of the Egyptian burdens. They began only remembering the flesh pots of Egypt. It was amazing to me when I read that passage that they were crying out for the flesh first. And God does not address their desire for the flesh, because the flesh will always make you fail.
Amen.
Flesh will always make you want to quit. Come on.
Amen.
Flesh will always make you want to quit trying and quit fighting because you are tired. But we are in a war that does not afford the luxury of retreat. This is for life.
Amen.
There's no retreat. Forward. The body of Christ, forward. In his leading. God knows what his people need and when they need it. God hears what his people are saying and complaining about, and God says, here is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to rain bread for you. He didn't rain meat first. He rained the bread of life. Come on. When the enemy comes in with his accusations, God said, I will rain truth for you. When the enemy comes in with his fog trying to keep you so clouded over that you cannot see any purpose of God, then I will rain for you and clear the fog. That's the God of heaven and earth. That's the God of all creation. That's the God that's there when he's supposed to be there. That's the God that's always right all the time. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters whom you serve. It matters whom you're obedient to. Are you obedient to the lie? Or are you obedient to the truth? That's what it really kind of runs down to, doesn't it? A lot of times we don't see the lie because we allow the scales to be put on our eyes. We allow the enemy to put scales in our eyes so we believe what he's trying to do. We believe that there's no worth in us. We believe.
Yeah.
But yet, there's no founding in it. Right. Oftentimes in the foundation class, I say these are liars right here. These two little liars in your body right here will lie to you because they are in the flesh.
Right. Yes.
We must see with faith in the heart. Because that's what God's after, a heart. He's not worried about the mind. He gets the heart, he gets it all. But if the enemy wants to stay right here, rattle something around in your brain until you fail and it never gets to your heart, because we just decide that we're just going to walk away. We're going to believe the lie. We're going to decide that it's the truth. That bread was the symbol of the Word of the living God. And that rain was the symbol of the Holy Ghost. The water and the Word. That water that you must be immersed in so that you will not break when it comes to the pressures that are applied and are going to be applied by the enemy and by this world. The Bible tells us to put on the garments of praise in place of the spiritual heaviness. There's a spirit working overtime to try to stir up strife and pile on heaviness in the body of Christ. If you've not seen it, just take my word for it. It's there. It's not just you. You are not the only one being picked on by the accusing spirit. It's the spirit of this age, and the old accuser and oppressor is using all the power he's got on this side to try to overwhelm the people of God and keep them stuck in a place of lifelessness.
Right.
We just acknowledge as the children of God of life is that God wants progress out of us. The God of all life is asking for progress. He wants a forward living, moving motion out of your walk with him. He does not want to see you stalled out and stagnant. You and I were born into this family of God to walk in the power of God on this earth, not to sink underneath the load of life. You and I will not beat the devil with what we can do. We will not be able to use any of what we think are our best skills to beat him. In our trying to beat the devil on our own terms takes God out of the battle, and we are sure to lose a spiritual battle in the flesh. You ever try to beat the devil by the flesh?
You don't.
It's called works. I know you're not going to box up the wind. Come on. Works are not spiritual. But because you're spiritual, you'll do works.
Right.
Don't get it wrong.
Right. It's true.
Works won't get you saved. It won't get you to heaven.
That's right.
But God, and by His grace, we are saved.
Amen.
And we have that promise.
That's right.
We should never use works to beat the enemy in a spiritual battle.
That's right.
We must understand this. You can come sit on this pew each and every week and every time the door is open and not be saved.
Come on now.
That's right.
Hear me, church.
Yes.
Works don't get you saved. It won't get you to heaven. But believing and knowing the grace of God and knowing that He is able, I'm going to walk into this church every time that door opens because I want to worship with my family of God. I want to know I'm united with the body of Christ. I want to know that I have every opportunity to serve Him in every capacity. I want to know that I can speak life into someone else that doesn't feel like there's any life. I want to know the power of God. I want to see it. I want to see the miraculous. I've seen the ones that could not walk get up out of a wheelchair and walk. I've seen those that seem like they're going to die get up and walk out of a bed. I've seen it with my own eyes, and I know that God is still real, and He's still the same yesterday and today and forever. If you doubt that, there's an altar to prove the one and living God.
Thank you, Lord.
Every time. There's only one truth. But if we listen and obey what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, we will see the rain of bread from heaven, the bread that is gathered each and every day. That's equivalent to reading the Word each and every day. That bread of life. That bread from heaven, which is Jesus, He said, I am the bread of life that came down. He said, healing is the children's bread. He prayed, give us this daily, our daily bread. The enemy wants to consume you and I with a flood. He wants to overwhelm you with a sudden flood or a persistent, unyielding flood to break you, to break your resolve to live for Christ, to break down your strength so you won't walk with Christ with joy that only the rain of the Holy Ghost can give. Have you felt dry lately? Have you felt like I'm just not where I want to be? Have you felt like I'm not getting the bread of life every day like I'm wanting? Are you feeling like you're overwhelmed with enemy's darts? Are you overwhelmed with the flood of words that he's trying to attack you with? Those things in your mind are a flood of the words of the enemy. That's not the Word of God. We know the Word would speak the truth. But if you do not know the truth, you cannot speak the truth.
Yeah, come on now.
That sounds so simplistic, does it not? But there's so much truth in that.
Yeah. Amen.
Every day, we're bombarded with the lies of the enemy. As the end days approach, and they most definitely are.
Yes, they are.
We look at everything around us. The enemy's saying, it's always been this way. It's always been this way. It's not changing. But I'm going to tell you, around the world, it's changed completely what it was. And things are put in motion in the spiritual that we have no idea about. But those that are close to the Lord, you're feeling that churning within you. You're feeling that forward motion. You're feeling that the Lord God is coming. We don't know the hour, we don't know the time, but we know that an excitement of the Lord, you feel it moving within you. Each and every day I get up and I say, God, could it be today? God, could you come back for your church today? I'm getting excited because something's turning within me. I'm starting to be ready. I want to go. I don't want to stay here in this place of hell anymore. This earth is the place that it should not be because it failed in the Garden of Eden.
That's right. Amen.
And hell entered the world. But those that know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those that know the truth, those that know feel this unction
within
them.
That's right. Yes, that's
right. It's coming. It's coming. Every day I get more excited. Every day I'm getting more excited. I know that what my God said in his very truth is ever more closely today. It's not what they say. It can be years away. No. No.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come on.
No. He may tarry his coming for a little while longer. But if we read the scriptures, we already see the signs. The prophecies are fulfilled that none in the past have been fulfilled.
That's right.
But they're being fulfilled now.
Jesus.
Those truths we know. While he's flooding in on you with those burdens, the rain of bread is falling around. Isaiah 40 tells us every drop of that rain that falls, it thunders. Have you not heard? Do you not know? Has it not been told to you to lift up your eyes, to look at the one who created you? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Creator, does not get faint? He does not get weary. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. The enemy says, quit. But God says, you can mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. When the enemy floods in and says, I'm going to kill you, the word says, I am the God that healeth thee. When the enemy comes in like a flood and says, no one loves or appreciates you, God says, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. So what do we believe? Do we believe the lie, or do we believe the God of heaven and earth? People of God, we must open our eyes. There is enough bread raining from heaven that it will never run out. And in closing, every one of us are in a battle. Or we're fixing to go through a battle. Or we just got out of a battle. We must understand that rain of bread, that watering of the word, that truth of the gospel that gives us life, that gives us truth, is what we must cling to, not the lies of the enemy that he continues to flood our minds with each and every day. I call it the 3-second rule. 1, 2, 3, it better be out. Because as long as we allow it to set in here, then it accentuates and then it goes out here.
That's right.
Any sin, that includes disbelief.
Yeah, come on.
Shall we? Let's all please stand in this house. Brother Chris comes.
Acknowledgement.
God has a word for you if you will come.
Do you acknowledge Jesus?
Yes.
Here around these altars, I'm going to pray. Over this whole congregation, I'm going to ask you to come to these altars after this, so we need to spend time with God. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word of truth. I thank you, Lord God, that we can believe your truth and not the lie. There's those that are in this house that have been bombarded by the lies of the enemy, that the war of words in their mind has taken away their peace. Taken away the promises of God and replaced them with lies of the enemy. Those that are here, they're walking into a battle right now. They have no idea what's going on. They don't know how it happened. The enemy is all around them. It seems like that all they find is negative things going on. Their life never changes. They continue to be bound by this lie. But God, you are the truth of life. In your offering to rain down the bread of life to each and every child today, if we just believe and march forward, trust in you, knowing that your hand is not shortened that cannot reach where we may be. Each and every person in this house is either going through a battle, fixing to go through a battle, or just came out of one. Lord God, we know that you're able, Lord, to do great and mighty things in our lives. And I'm asking, Lord God, that you move in our lives today.